In the name of Jesus, amen. Today is the Feast of Pentecost. We shall see, as through our gospel lesson, that Jesus has poured out his Spirit upon us through the water and the blood, that he was crucified and died and was resurrected, that he might give to us his Spirit. It's a man named Jacob who lived north of Jerusalem. He was very excited for this morning. He and his family would take the trek to Jerusalem for the great festival. It was an annual trip to Jerusalem, and it was the end of the harvest season, and so now it was time to rejoice. Now it was time to gather together. Now it was time to celebrate all the Lord's provisions that he had provided his people. They called it the Feast of Weeks. And in celebration of these first fruits of the wheat harvest. And Jacob knew all of this. He also knew that this festival was not just simply connected with the present, but it also remembered the past, and it also pointed to the future. Jacob also knew that in the days of Israel's life, it was not always peachy and nice and pleasant. But they'd wandered in the wilderness for 40 years in tents and booths. Yet the Lord took care of them, even as he was taking care of Jacob and his family. And so Jerusalem that day was with a buzz of laughter and cheer, and families were mingling together, and friends were catching up, and the food and the wine was overflowing. Jacob was enraptured by it all, but he knew that the best was yet to come, for the water ceremony was about to occur in the temple. For each morning, a priest would take a golden pitcher and fill it with water and pour it out at the base of the altar and let it run down. And while that was happening, the choir would sing from Isaiah's great salvation chapter 12. It's actually the Old Testament canticle in the prayer and preaching service. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And with those words that rang in Jacob's ear, he remembered what his father had taught him. Look forward, my son, to the joy of the Lord's promise, eternal salvation. And my son, never forget that the Lord has nourished his people throughout their days of traveling in the wilderness. And he did this especially with miraculously pouring water out of a rock. For this rock was a springing forth of life. And my son, it is a foreshadowing of the rock which will gush forth eternal life upon this world which is subject to eternal death. Throughout his years, Jacob would wonder if the people realized what exactly was happening. Did they hear and believe these words as God's words? And did they know that the rock that was among them was actually the Lord among them, for them, and watering their thirsty souls? But today, as we hear in the Gospel of John, today is the last day of the feast. And Jacob, as usual, he makes his way to the temple, and this day he knows is unique because the priest will not only celebrate the water ceremony one time, but rather seven times. Tomorrow, they would head back home. But he was a sponge and he wanted to soak up everything, even on this last and great day. And as he watched this ceremony happen, and he heard the choir sing, when the choir ended, a man stood up in the crowd and shouted, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his," literally, "his belly," not heart, "would flow rivers of living water." Now Jacob, he knew who that man was. That was Jesus of Nazareth. He caught glimpses of Jesus throughout his days, and he knew that he did astounding things, that he healed people, and he drove demons out of people, and he spoke not like the rabbis of the temple, but with this new and authoritative word of God. There were whispers that he might actually be the Messiah, that is, the anointed one of God. Jacob was hesitant, but he knew that this man was no ordinary man. And now this man was saying to him and to the people around him that they should drink from him, that out of his belly would come wellsprings of eternal life. Jacob's mind was swirling. Quiet fell over the crowd. No one knew what was going on. And did the people understand that the Lord was this rock among them in the person of Jesus Christ, giving them life and promising them life? And certainly he wondered, as people even wonder today, is Jesus saying that he is the rock that is watering us now? Jacob went home the next day, similar to Mary years before, and he pondered all these things in his heart. Not long after this, Jacob would return to Israel for another great feast, the Feast of the Passover. Now, this feast was a much more solemn feast. Not near all the pomp and circumstance and the food and the wine, because Jacob brought a year-old lamb without blemish to be sacrificed at the temple for him and his family. For that is what they did. They did that to recall the great rescue of the Israelites out of the Egyptians' hands by the blood of the lambs that were slaughtered at twilight that allowed the Israelites to be saved from death. But as Jacob walked into Jerusalem one afternoon, he realized that it was getting darker and darker, and it was actually midday. He got a little closer, and he saw that there was a commotion going on a hill just outside the city gates of Jerusalem. And he got even a little closer, and he finally saw what was happening. It was a ghastly crucifixion of three people, of which Jesus of Nazareth was in the middle between two criminals. And he wondered why the Romans were doing this during the great feast of the Passover. It must be serious. But what had Jesus done to be crucified? Great sadness fell over Jacob, and he crumpled to the ground like any man, and his eyes were downcast into the dry and dusty earth. Moments passed by, and he gets himself together and manages to lift his eyes again to see what is going on, and he saw soldiers with clubs taking swings at the two criminals' knees and breaking their bones, so their leg bones, so that they would die quicker. Jacob knew this about crucifixion. He heard the screams of pain and the criminals crying out. But strangely, they didn't do that to Jesus. Likely, probably he was already dead, Jacob thought. But so then he saw a soldier pick up not a hammer, but rather a spear. And the soldier thrust the spear into the belly of Jesus. No reaction. Dead for sure, likely. But what was this? Water and blood flowed out of his belly, and not just a trickle, mind you, but a stream of water and blood. And then Jacob remembered, not long ago, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." Chills went up the back of Jacob's neck, and he felt cold and numb. But then 7 weeks later, Jacob's back in Jerusalem for the feast of today, the feast of Pentecost. And he brought, as was expected, the first fruits of the harvest. And as much as he tried, he couldn't get out of his mind the image of Jesus Christ having that spear pierced into his belly and the water and the blood flowing out. But then he began to hear whispers around that Jesus had actually been resurrected. And that over 500 disciples had seen Jesus and had talked with him. And Jacob just kept thinking about those words, "Come to me and drink, whoever believes in me." But did Jacob believe, though? He went to the temple again, as was his custom, but then his eyes were gripped by the scene and his ears were gripped by what he heard. Those who were Jesus' disciples were preaching in the temple. And as he moved closer, he heard Peter preaching. You just heard it. "And in the last days, God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned to darkness, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Jacob zeroed in on those words, pouring out darkness, whoever believes in me. And he kept listening to this man named Peter preach. And in the hearing of this preached word, this opened in Jacob something that seemed and always was so unmovable, hesitant, and unwilling. That is, his heart and his soul. And it was the promises of God, it is the word of God preached, the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, working faith in hearing the word of promise that moved the heart and moved the will of Jacob to not think of manly things or worldly things, but to think of divine things and godly things. Like receiving the Spirit of God through the crucifixion of Jesus. He suddenly felt very safe and at peace and at home. But someone in the crowd cried out, "Brothers, what must we do?" And Peter quickly answered that question, "Well, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And by the way, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And this promise, mind you, is not just simply for you, but it's also for your children and even those who are far off. And that everyone whom the Lord God has called to himself. Jacob had been going to Jerusalem for decades, over and over again, all these years. But it really wasn't so much Jacob coming to the temple or Jacob coming to his Lord, but it was more the temple coming to Jacob and the Lord coming to Jacob, drawing him, calling him, wooing him by the word of God, by the words and deeds of Jesus himself. This call of God was the pure gift of God to Jacob and to his children, to his family. And mind you, to all of us who live in crooked ways of sin and lie in shadows of shame. And so he ran to get his family, that is Jacob. And he told them of Jesus and of the water that flowed out of the belly of Jesus and of his crucifixion, of Peter's Pentecost sermon. And he told them of the baptism, of the forgiveness of sins and the Holy Spirit. And then with joy, he scooped up his newborn son, and he herded his family down to the river where Peter and the other disciples were baptizing. And as he stepped into the river, he looked upstream and he saw rocks, water flowing simply kind of almost out of those rocks. And he closed his mouth and he shut his eyes, he went under the water, And he came back up and he was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And though his mouth and his eyes were shut, nonetheless he was sealed by the living water of God and the promise of God attached to that water. An heir of heaven, a new creation. He would never, ever thirst again. Jacob looked down at his son as well and saw him baptized. This promise is for you and for your children and for everyone who is far off in sin and shame. But Jacob wondered something that most parents often wonder. Would his son remember this day? Well, Jacob would make sure of it. Just as his father had taught him, he would teach his son. He would teach him about the rock in the wilderness and that that rock was Christ himself. He would teach him about the Paschal Lamb, the Lamb who suffered that he would save us from our sins, from our death. And he would teach him about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how Jesus defeated death by this strange, foolish thing called the cross. He would teach him to see Jesus throughout the entire scriptures, every single word, every single phrase pointing to Christ and what he had done for his people. And Jacob would also teach his son about the Holy Spirit and how the living water of God is poured out, which gave them a new language, but not some sort of foreign gibberish, not some sort of strange tongue, not some sort of teaching like the Pentecostals or the Charismatics would have you believe. It is a different tongue, but it is a tongue that is not of the law and of merits and works, which none of us can speak and truly be saved. But it is a tongue, a language of the gospel. A gospel that gushes forth upon this earth as a merciful bath, making it new that which is old. Jacob and his family were at peace, but this peace of the Holy Spirit did not come from the law, did not come from the world, but it came from God himself through his Son Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. And it flowed from his belly, this word of Jesus, this water of life that quenches even death, that transcends time, and yet is given to you in time. That is what Pentecost is so much about. That you are sons and daughters of Christ by the Holy Spirit in the baptism of the forgiveness of your sins. That for us who are stuck in the thirstiness of a parched or unfinished life, for us who are stuck in the thirstiness of a distressed soul or terrified body, for us whose thirstiness knows that things are not right but do not possess the ability or the power or the desire to make them right. And even as Jacob wondered, what must I do to drink this water of life? Well, nothing in a sense, simply receive. As Peter said, be baptized. And if you've already been baptized, remember your baptism. Hear his word often and eat his supper and drink his body, or eat his body and drink his blood often. For these things are the things of God, and also they allow you and give you the peace which enables you to commend your body and soul into his hands despite what is going on with your own hands or the hands of the world. Christ gives, you receive. That's how this works. Christ preaches you not some self-hydrating doctrine of works and merit, but rather a doctrine of life which imparts to you the water and spirit of life. That he alone comes and quenches your insecurities and your uncertainties of wondering, am I good enough to be a child of God? He says, little Jacob, little one, little sheepfold, come to me all the days of your life, for I will give you the water that flowed from me, and I will regenerate you. I will make you a new creation. And so it is from generation to generation. The water that flowed from the rock so many thousands of years ago, and from the belly of Jesus 2,000 plus years ago on the cross, shall always fill the baptismal fonts of churches around the world, forgiving sins, bestowing the Holy Spirit, and birthing anew children of God. And not just the water alone, mind you, but also the blood of this Paschal and Passover lamb. In the washing of the water and the blood, you see, the Spirit testifies to you that you are a child of God, that your identity in Him is secure, and you are at peace, and you are at home in Him. Jesus' water and blood even hydrate death unto eternal life. So you, Jacob, and all the children of God, born anew of the water and the blood that comes from the belly of Jesus, you may know and be certain that come what may in this life, which we have learned we do not know what will come in our life, even the ugly face of death, you are given a stream, an oasis, a city of eternal peace where streams of living water flow from its heavenly courts, and your soul and your body are ransomed, and you are to abide there forever. Today, it is by faith, but the gospel promises you that one day it will be by sight. In the name of Jesus, amen.